Are you always doubting yourself? Feel like nothing is ever going to go your way? Have you ever said, I'll be happy when you lose 5 pounds, you make more money, or something like that? Well, this week we talk with author Julia Cameron about self-doubt, happiness, and how to be happy with an F in your life. Julia is the author of some amazing books that have changed my life. Seriously, she totally changed my life, including The Artist's Way, The Prosperous Heart, and most recently, Prosperity Every Day. I'm super excited to welcome Julia Cameron on the show. Hi, Julia. Thanks so much for agreeing to be on the show.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. I've read lots and lots of your books. I have to admit that your books have changed my life, as many sure many other people can say that as well. And one thing that a lot of my listeners ask me on a daily basis when they're talking about their own happiness is, how do they take that first step? You know, so many people are stuck in negativity and worry that they don't even know where to begin. How could somebody, what's your advice to those people?
Well, I would say to you, I want you to start writing every morning 3 pages of just stream of consciousness called morning pages. It's one of the basic tools of the Artist's Way toolkit, and it tends to excavate your negativity. I sometimes think they should be called mourning pages, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, because at first people go through a grieving process for the years that they feel they have wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as someone that's participated in doing those morning pages, I have to say they really give you a lot of clarity. They really start, you get to see cycles, especially when you're not judging, doing that stream of consciousness like you mentioned. I agree. It really does show you a way that you get to see your own negative thinking and the way you talk to yourself. And for me, it was really eye-opening because I would read my pages back later down the road and realize that that's not how I would be talking to a friend. So it was about time that I talked to myself with the same kindness as well. And with happiness, I have to admit, I just picked up The Prosperous Heart, was reading through that book and loved, great read for those of you guys who are listening who haven't read it yet. And the thing that really hit me with that book was in several different places, you talked about being happy with a life of enough and the moving horizon of happiness. Could you explain to our listeners what that means of being happy with a life of enough?
Well, I think that we have sort of a chronic dissatisfaction with ourselves and our circumstances. And then when we start writing morning pages, we begin to see that we have many different choices. And we can choose to become much more positive. When we become more positive, it's based on a faith that we begin to experience. When you do morning pages, you're in effect praying. You're contacting the universe and saying, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I want more of, this is what I want less of. And as you begin to get more of what you wish for and dream about, you become what I would call prosperous. Prosperity is grounded in your spiritual condition, not in your bottom line fiscal plan. So I think it's a sense that there is a benevolent universe, it's on your side, that you can tap into it.
That's awesome. And I think it's really hard sometimes when people have been negative for so long that to have that, and you mentioned that faith, and a lot of times people hear the word faith and they think, spirituality and the ideal of God and things like that. And for my life, the benevolent universe, and you are what you surround yourself with, you are what you put out there, is really how, I live my lifestyle as far as getting rid of that negativity. And it's the more you read, your books, it's just really prevalent in that. And it's so amazing to see it work. I have to say, I was really touched about your story about when you decided to move from Manhattan out to New Mexico, when you were writing that list and you just noticed that your heart was really telling you, anything on your list wasn't really about Manhattan. It was about, you know, somewhere out west. And how was that journey for you, making that decision to finally go where your heart was telling you to go?
Well, it started off, as you said, with a list. It was an artist's way tool of listing things I loved. And so I listed chamisa, pinyon, juniper, ravens, eagles, even coyotes. And I said, this is not New York. Nowhere here do I see the Chrysler Building. And so I decided, really through prayer, to move to Santa Fe. I had lived in Taos, which is a small town up the mountain from Santa Fe, and I had lived there for 10 years, but it was not a healthy place. It was a little bit scary, lots of crime. And I thought, well, I want to move back to the Southwest, but I don't want to move right in as an invitation to burglars. So I moved to Santa Fe, which is a more civilized yet still wild place. Just this morning, I looked out my front door and I saw a big lizard. It's an adventure to live here.
That's awesome. Having just been in New York City myself last week for a blogging conference, I can tell you, yes, I did not notice any coyotes while I was there. I've personally gone on a journey quite similar to that. You know, I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota area, and it's amazing how much your positivity and your heart opens up when you find a place that you can truly call home, that your whole being is really telling you that this is the place that I'm meant to be. So your story really, really resonated with me, as I'm sure it does with a lot of our listeners who are looking for that place that they may not know that that's where they're going to call home soon. And I find that, and I see if you agree, Julia, listening to your gut and just what your soul is kind of telling you where you need to go and having that faith is just a really big part of the journey in self-discovery and getting out of your own way, in essence. Would you agree?
Well, I think for me, I was a little bit afraid to leave New York. New York is sort of the epicenter. I thought, oh, no, if I move to Santa Fe, I'll be out of the running. I'll be sabotaging my career. Meanwhile, I did move to Santa Fe, trusting that somehow things would work out. And I have a play going up in Albuquerque in August, which is, I had a wonderful New York director coming out to work with the actors. And I found that instead of feeling like I was abandoned, I was right on track.
That's awesome. That must be really exciting for you. And what is the name of the, do you have a name for the play that's going up for you in Albuquerque?
Yes, it's called Love in the DMZ. It's a love story between a husband in Vietnam and a wife that he had to leave alone in Kansas with their two children.
That sounds awesome. I would really love to hear more about that and how that's going for you down the road. And I'll also put things like that in the show notes so the listeners can take a look for you as well. And one thing, when I was looking through your books, you're talking about that worry about pulling yourself out of the epicenter, which as a writer myself, I can totally understand. Nowadays, it's for me, since I blog, it's different because everything's digital. But I find in our busy lives, a lot of people are filled with worry. Sometimes it's so automatic that we don't really even realize that we're doing it all the time or even what a life would look like without that worry and self-doubt and things like that. What are some ways that people could let go of worry and kind of start living a more prosperous life?
Well, you've brought us to the second artist's way tool, which is something called an artist date, which is a once-a-week solo expedition to do something that strikes you as fun. It's just a joyous time, but many people will do the assigned work of the morning pages, but then when they get to artist dates and it's assigned fun, they balk, mm-hmm. and that's because, you know, this is America, and
yeah,
we believe in work. So we understand the concept of I could work on my creativity, but we don't understand the concept of the play of ideas is a literal term. And when we do our artist states, we begin to experience a lightness of heart and a sense that we are in a benevolent universe.
I can totally relate to that, and I know my listeners can as well. A lot of people, when I've talked about The Artist's Way to because that was the first book of yours that I ever read, and a lot of people would say, "How I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to do the morning pages. I don't have the time to take out for myself." What would you say to somebody like that? Because honestly, I didn't at that point have an answer.
Well, what I would say to people is that the morning pages take about 40 minutes usually for people. And they actually end up winning windows of time for you later in the day. So you may find that you take the time to do the morning pages, and then later in the day, instead of worrying and fretting and procrastinating, you move joyously into something that's a dream. And when I say a dream, I mean something that is sort of a cherished vision.
Mm-hmm.
And you move toward it a step at a time. A lot of times when people have a dream, they may have a dream of being a screenwriter. And then they think, oh, but I have to move to Hollywood right away. And I love my friends and I don't want to go. And what I would say to them is a screenplay is written a page at a time. Don't worry about selling your screenplay. Worry about writing your page a day. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's just such great advice. Such great advice, how to break that down that simply.
Right. You know, I say to people, take tiny steps. Take little, teeny, non-threatening steps. Just do the next right thing, whatever that is. And usually there's some small next right thing, you know, like you're going to be a sculptor, well, you better get some clay.
Yeah. So I have to make my husband listen to that. He's my husband's an artist as well, and he's had I've read in your books a lot. You talk about creative block. He's had that for about 20 years, and it's been a beautiful thing to kind of see my husband take that one baby step at a time when he really let go of that fear of not being what he was 20 years ago. And slowly but surely, he's getting back to where he's creating again. He's, you know, going to start his own business and things like that. It's really inspiring to be around people as you see them take those baby steps as well. And on that note, Julia, the people you surround yourself with, you know, when you're doing these works, you're doing the morning pages, you're self-reflecting, you're doing that one foot in front of the other. How important do you think who you surround yourself is in that whole picture?
I think it's very important. I think we are easily discouraged, and typically we may find ourselves surrounded by people who have our second thoughts for us. You know, you tell them you're writing a novel, and they say, oh, what are the odds of you getting it published?
Yeah, I can tell you for that. I've heard that myself.
And I think we need to surround ourselves with what I call believing mirrors, and believing mirrors are people who reflect back to us our power and our potential. And I just went through a difficult period myself. I wrote a novel, and I gave it to someone to read, and for 7 months they didn't read it. And how long does it take to read a novel? 5 hours?
Right, right. That must be discouraging.
It was very discouraging.
Yeah, that's it's. I think that's really amazing that you just shared that with us, because I think a lot of people, you know, read books of yours and you know, hear a successful author, and they think that, oh, it's easy to give this kind of advice because, you know, she's made it, or, you know, I'm nowhere near the scale of you are, but I've gotten a similar, you know, oh, she's in the positive life. She's already done it. It's not that big a deal. And I think a great thing for people to remember is that we're all still human. We still do have those struggles and those people that sneak into our lives and discourage us. And it's in my world, it's kind of important to stay vigilant on that, because I love that phrase, believing mirrors, that they reflect back your power and your potential. Cause it's when you're down, when you need those people around you to help build you back up, at least in my world, that's how it goes.
I have a friend, a woman author whom you may know, Sonia Choquette.
Mm-hmm.
She's written about 9 books now, and she's a wonderful psychic. And I will go to her and say, Sonia, I'm so discouraged. This novel has been presented 42 times to rejections. And she'll say, I see the novel being published. And sure enough, the 43 submission brings an offer.
That's awesome. That's just so awesome that you have somebody that do that. And it would be amazing if everybody could try to have that one Sonia in their life to be that person to boost you up, right?
Yes. And I think that everybody can find at least one person, and it may not be a Sonia Choquette. It may be a kindergarten teacher who's very positive. It may be your Aunt Bernice, who's very positive. One of the things that I do when I write a book is that I give my first draft to Sonia, and to my friend Gerard, who's been my friend since I was 17, and I ask them for their opinion, and they are my believing mirrors, and they may say, the first 100 pages are terrific, but then it needs work. So believing mirrors are people who are frank with you, but positive.
Absolutely. I like to call that, talked to my listeners several times about tough love. They're the time that they'll hold you up, but they'll be honest with you, and that they'll let you know when things need to be adjusted, whether it's in your creative works or in your life or how you're handling a situation. It's really important to do that. And that's one thing here on Quirky Inspired Podcast we talk a lot about as well. Just surrounding yourself by those people that make you the best you.
Yes.
Great. Well, I started refreshing some of the books when I was, you know, looking forward to interviewing you. And one thing that I noticed was a little that I hadn't noticed before is you were talking about walks. I had heard you talk about the morning pages and how that does self-reflection. And you started mentioning as well to take a 20-minute walk twice a week. How does that differ from the morning pages as far as getting that clarity that people need to find out who they are and to find that happiness?
Well, I think walking is the third artist's way tool, and it brings us clarity and inspiration and stamina and enthusiasm, and it grounds us in the world that we are actually in, but gives us a window to the world that we want. And when I wrote The Artist's Way, I knew walking was important, but I didn't know how important it was. So it's in week 12, the very last week, where I sort of say, P.S., exercise. and then as I went further with further books, walking in this world, finding water, I realized that walking was very important, and that it allows us to integrate our insights and to have a sense of safety. And I walk every day. I have a little white dog, and she's a West Highland Terrier, and she looks forward to our walks where she can chase lizards.
That's awesome. It's so fun. We have two dogs in our house as well, and it's so funny how the little things they enjoy seem to bring their owners joy as well. And sometimes it keeps us accountable on those days we don't necessarily want to get out there either.
Right, I agree.
Awesome. So you inspire so many people by all the books that you've written. So I wanted to ask you a question for you. The question I wanted to ask is, if you could have dinner with anybody that inspires you, living or not with us anymore, who would that person, who would you pick to have that special dinner with, that artist date with?
Living or dead?
Yep.
Well, if we were talking living or dead, I would say Carl Jung.
Oh, wow, that's a great choice. And why would you pick him beyond the obvious?
Well, I believe that he believed. And he said, "I don't believe I know," when he was asked about his faith. He talks about there being the tracery of destiny that we are able to see at midlife, that we are begin to be able to see the plan for our life. I just would love to have dinner with him. And basically say to him, "Thank you. You articulated so many important concepts."
Yeah, he was quite an influential person, and he definitely had his own way of thinking of things. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I want to also know, what's, I noticed on your website, which is juliacameronlive.com for the listeners out there, you can find that in the show notes as well, that you now have The Artist Way as a course online, as a series of video courses. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and your work with that project?
Yes. You know, I travel to teach, and people travel to be taught. So I may go to Massachusetts and end up teaching someone from Alabama. But there are people left at home in Alabama who don't have the money to travel to teach, to be taught. And so I thought, I want a way for people to be able to access the course without having to spend a lot of money. I had initially started teaching The Artist's Way just in my living room. Say, if you want to be unblocked, come to class. This was before there was a book. So I said to Emma Lively, who's my creative partner, "Emma, what shall we do?" And Emma said, "I think we should do a video course right in your living room." So Emma came flying out to Santa Fe. She lives in Brooklyn. She came flying out to Santa Fe with a videographer, and they set up their video cam right in my living room, and I taught an intimate course. I think that it's a wonderful resource for people who just sort of need a shot in the arm.
Absolutely, absolutely. I will have to say, if I had seen, if that had been something I'd known about when I was going through your book several years ago, it would have been amazing, because you talk about creativity a lot with The Artist Way and things like that. And I want my listeners to know as well, as someone who's gone through The Artist Way books, don't just think it's for artists, at least in my opinion. It's something that if you have a block in your life in general of who you are, because we live in this great creative universe, and if you haven't read the books, please check it out on juliacameronlive.com. I'm really excited to see your video courses, and I love the fact that you're trying to bring yourself into everybody's living room. That's a great thing with the digital age right now, which is, you know, how we're able to do things like this podcast and things like that. So I'm really excited to see how that works for you, and I will definitely have all that in the show notes for my listeners to check out for on your website as well.
Well, I think juliacameronlive.com or simply Googling The Artist's Way will get you to my website. And at this point, I've written 40 books.
Wow.
That's a lot of books.
That's an amazing accomplishment.
And each book is carefully described in the website, and people can pick and choose sort of what sounds delicious.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've listed some of my favorites that I've read of yours. It's not near the Justice of Your 40, but they can also check those out on the show notes as well. And I know you also have a lot of titles on Amazon as well, so I'll make sure to let you guys know where to find that as well. And Julie, I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show with us today. It's truly been an honor to chat with someone that's inspired just so many lives all across the country and the globe. I really wish you the best in your next projects, and I really, really hope to read more of your work soon. So keep writing. You're doing amazing, amazing work. And, you know, honestly, without your work, this podcast would not exist. Your ability to help people creatively unblock themselves and find that inspiration in their day-to-day life is truly awe-inspiring.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for being a guest, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. See, here's the amazing thing about Julia Cameron is she doesn't just write to artists. She writes to anybody who doesn't quite know their way. And within her books, she's been able to help me find my way and find who I am creatively, inspirationally, and just all around. Her books, The Artist's Way and The Prosperous Hearts, literally changed my life. I know it may not seem like something that might be up your alley, but I dare you to give a chance. She was the one that helped me erase the self-doubt, erase the getting in my own way, helped me show that worry was not going to get me to happiness, because otherwise I'd never be happy because I'd always expect something a little bit more. So I challenge you guys. Check her out. She's totally worth the read. She's available on Amazon and on her website, which will be in the show notes. And next week on Quirky Inspired, we've got another amazing inspired guest. For all you MasterChef guys out there and gals, we have a True Blood live MasterChef contestant, Stephen Lee. Sure to be a great show as he talks about one of his favorite passions, food, and of course, being on the MasterChef show. So if you guys are as addicted to that show as I am, make sure to join us next Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central. If you love what you heard so far from the Quirky Inspired podcast, we are officially on iTunes. So love us a lot. Leave a review and share with your friends to help spread the quirky love. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. And until next time, forget normal. Be quirky, guys.